Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report, the ESIAC report, right after this. Well, a $10 pizza has a 38% tax on it, and a Budweiser six-pack has a 43% tax, and a fifth of Jack Daniels is taxed a whopping 72%. Governments tax us all, and they tax anything that wiggles, moves, or squirms. But what is it that government does to produce, prepare, or deliver, for which the government gets paid 38% for a pizza, 43% for a beer, or 72% for a drink? Does the pizza parlor make a 38% profit on that pizza that they buy the ingredients to make, prepare it, cook it, serve it, and then pay rent on the store that you sit in to eat it? Why is it that government gets paid more in tax than the people who actually produce, prepare, and deliver the goods and services that we all buy? Well, if you'd like more information about tax and status, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. Be sure to ask for my free general law CD package while you're at it. Remember, that's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free of charge. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Now, tax and status, the school is available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, why don't you go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, just click onto the email, and then send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Do it right now before you forget. That's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're reviewing the book. It's called The ESIAC Report by Richard Thomas, about a 200-page report, 8.5 by 11. Canada's Remarkable Unknown Cancer Remedy. Remember, in this series of programs, we've looked at 10 cancer remedies. 9 of them are natural. One of them is a machine discovered by a fellow named Royal Rife called the Royal Rife Machine. It's a frequency generator. He discovered that cancer can be killed by inducing an electrical frequency toward the cancer tumor, and it'll kill it. Well, that's one way to kill cancer. Chemotherapy kills cancer. Radiation kills cancer. And surgery will cut it out. That'll kill cancer. So there's a number of ways to kill cancer. It's just that when you go to the allopathic medical doctor and he uses cut, burn, and poison, 63% of them don't survive it. 37% do. So a question arises, well, what do the 63% who have terminal cancer do when they're faced with death? And the answer is alternative therapy. Alternative therapy, the underground medical community, the underground medical marketplace is what it is. It's the black market, medical black market. That's what we're talking about. Now, whenever there is an economy controlled by a government, there is a corresponding economy, a natural economy, a free economy that operates side by side. We call it the underground economy or the black market. Well, Rene Cassie ran up against the medical establishment in Canada, so she came to the United States, and she worked for a long time with the personal physician of President John F. Kennedy. His name was Bruce, B-B, I'll get his name here in a second, I'll spell it for you. Well, bottom line was, Dr. Bruce, B-R-U-S-C-H, and Rene Cassie were doing well in Massachusetts until the AMA came on the scene and said, nope, we're going to put an end to this, and they put the screws to Dr. Bruce. Something had happened compounding the problem, and the American Medical Association, remember that's the mother of all medical establishments, made it clear to Dr. Bruce and Renee that it forbade its members, remember he's a member now, to refer patients to unknown remedies. Okay, now cut, burn, and poison we know, Essiac we don't. Now, Dr. Bruce was experimenting with Essiac, worked it out, cured a number of cancer patients, some even with lung cancer. Now, the medical establishment gives up on lung cancer. If you've got lung cancer, you're dead. Now, the alternative underground economy tells you, the medical establishment says, no, that's not true at all. And that's because the alternative therapists are working with your immune system, and your immune system can destroy the cancer in your colon, in your lungs, in your brain. Doesn't make any difference where it's at. And what we're going to do is we're going to kill it. Bloodroot kills it. The problem, remember, when you're dealing with chemotherapy is it kills everything around it. Radiation kills everything around it. Bloodroot only kills cancerous cells. The way you can test that, I had a cancer one time here on my arm. The reason I knew it was a cancer, because it ate it out. I had two warts, two moles on my arm, forearm, and one of them looked really ugly, and one of them just looked kind of ugly. So I took the Indian black salve, which is made of greasewood and bloodroot, two of the active ingredients, and I put it on the kind of ugly wart, and nothing happened. And that tells you the story, because it only attacks cancerous cells. All right, so that one was ugly. I still have it, and it's still kind of ugly. Then I had this real nasty looking. I mean, it was. It would gag a maggot at high noon. That's how ugly it was. So I put this stuff on there, and within 5 minutes, it started to burn. And I mean, it burned, and it burned, and it burned even some more. And today I'm looking at it, and I'm just going to rub in it right now. It's a little white scar, about the size of a dime. It's not even as big as a dime, but it's, you know, you can see it. It's the size of maybe a pencil eraser. And it ate it out. And while it was eating it ate it out maybe quarter to half an inch deep. I mean, it made a big deep hole in my forearm. And it ate it out. And that's the bloodroot working, and it only works on cancer. That's all it does. Evidently designed by God just especially for that express purpose. Boy, does it work. All right, now, the same thing applies to bloodroot when you take it internally. It kills the cancers that are inside of you. Got one down in your colon. Now, this last bout of cancer that my wife has been going through in the last couple of years, she had cancer in her liver, cancer in her colon, cancer in her stomach, cancer in her brain, and sinuses. And heck, I don't know, she might have had cancer in 15 other places, we don't know. But we know that it was in those organs because she could feel it. It hurt. And now she's been on Essiac, and this is the program that she elected. The Essiac program. And they're right about that pain control, because in those areas that were painfully causing problem there, and it caused quite a bit of pain, it eases the pain because it kills the tumor, which is causing the pain, causing the problem with your nerve endings. And it attacks it, and it comes out, and it looks like cottage cheese when you expel it. Yeah, it's kind of an ugly mess, and cancer is kind of an ugly disease because it consumes you. They used to call it consumption, and it just kind of eats your body away. It's ugly, and it's nasty, painful. It's a tough way to go. And you'll notice that Renee Cassie said that some of the cases that she was treating were incurable, and I mentioned to you this old Indian doctor said he never saw a case he couldn't cure. Now, let me tell you what I've observed. Cassie is correct, and we've made the same observations here at the law school. Clinically, if you have cancer and you're still up and around and you're walking around and, and you know, you're not bedridden, and you've got that 15% of body energy that this old Indian doctor told me you had to have. There's no reason why your immune system can't destroy and cast that cancer out. Clinically, there's no problem, but psychologically there is, and most people, and here's our observation, I would say at least 90% of you, when you're confronted with cancer, you will die from the cancer. Not because you can't cure it, but because psychologically you cannot do what has to be done in order to heal or to cure that cancer. Let me give you a couple of illustrations. I had a hay supplier over here on P Highway, and his wife developed lung cancer. Well, old Christian came over one day, and he said, I'd like to talk to Jackie. I said, well, come on in, Chris. What's going on? And he said, well, my wife's got lung cancer. She was diagnosed with lung cancer, and we know that Jackie's had cancer for many years and been treating it holistically, and we'd like to know what she was doing, because I think that might be something for us. So Jackie sat down with his wife, and now the wife smoked, and she drank. Now, drinking and smoking isn't the greatest sins in the world, but here's what drinking does. If you take an ounce of alcohol every day, 7 days a week, it destroys all of the vitamin A in your liver. So your body is always vitamin A deficient. Your immune system can't function properly without vitamin A. So it doesn't take a real smart person to figure out you got to quit drinking. You don't have to be real smart to figure that out. Now, the second thing is she's smoking. Now, it requires a tremendous amount of your body's energy to deal with that poison. So here's your immune system just working overtime, trying to sop up, and eliminate that nicotine from your body. And while it's working on this nicotine, which is an immediate threat to your life, poison, and it's out there working, disposing of this poison, it's not working on your cancer. You can't. You can't kill your cancer and save you alive from the nicotine, so it works on the nicotine first because that's the most immediate threat. And because of that, the cancer keeps growing, your immune system is overtaxed and can't handle the overload. So, again, you don't have to be real smart to figure out if you'd quit smoking and quit drinking, if you'd quit poisoning your body, stop poisoning your body. I mean, it's a wild new concept, but just stop. Why, then your immune system could take over and go to work. Now, the next thing is, your body, in order for your immune system to function, has to have the tools that it needs. I mean, you wouldn't send a fire engine out without any water in the tanks, would you? Would you send a fire engine out to the fire with no water in the tanks and maybe no gasoline in the gas tank? You know, the fire engine can't get to the fire to start with, and after it did get to the fire, you didn't have any water to put it out with. What do you need the fire engine for? So your body now has to have the tools, you know, with which to defeat the cancer. Now, it's not impossible. In fact, your body's immune system is designed to deal with cancer. Everybody's got cancer. They've always had cancer, always will have cancer. And it's when it gets out of control that it poses a problem. So, you know, when you come down with cancer, you got to do something constructive. Well, this woman couldn't quit smoking, she couldn't quit drinking, and she ultimately died. In fact, as we told her, well, you got to get a juicer, and they went out and bought a juicer, and, well, you got to do this and that. They spent the money, they bought everything that the woman needed to cure the cancer. Well, everything but a couple things. She couldn't quit smoking, she couldn't quit drinking. So therefore, her immune system could never get back on top, so therefore she couldn't survive. Well, anyway, one day old Chris came over and he said, well, I've been having a problem here with my wife and blah, blah, blah. I said, well, would you come over and talk to her? And I said, no, I don't think I will, Chris. I mean, I don't want to come over and visit. I mean, if you want me to, I'll come over and visit, but I don't need to talk to you about cancer. Because I asked him, I said, well, is she still smoking? Yeah. Is she still drinking? Yeah. So, well, there's nothing more to talk about. She's going to die. She's going to die from cancer. and she's going to die god-awful hard. Because lung cancer, boys and girls, I'm telling you, if you ever watched a person die with lung cancer, if that doesn't break your heart, nothing will. I think it's harder on the people that have to watch you die than it is on the guy that's actually dying. Although, the guy that I saw die from lung cancer, my God, I never saw anybody gasp for air, gasp for every breath. Boy, you talk about a hard way to go. That's it. Well, she went, and she went that hard way. The last day of her life, it was a struggle for every breath, for hours and hours and hours. She was dying, but, you know, you can't just kill her. You can't shoot her in the head. You got to just sit there and watch her slowly strangle to death, unable to get enough air. And then finally, when they don't get enough air, they pass out, and then they quit breathing, and then they die. Okay, well, she was going to die anyway. Now, I had another guy, a good friend, you know, a good, hell of a nice guy. And he was pretty knowledgeable about cancer. He was using the Indian black salve, and he'd get a cancer, you know, on his arm or something, and he'd burn it off, and he'd get one on his forehead, and he burned it off. And one day I happened to see him at the Nugget in Reno. It was out of the Squaw's Nugget. And I said, "Now, Wayne," and I said, "now, you got cancer, and you know you got cancer." And I said, "Now, you drink every day, and you chew tobacco." And I said, "That's going to kill you. You got that cancer throughout your body." And I said, "You're going to have to take and deal with it and cure it and get after it." Now, he's in good health. I mean, this guy's a big, strong guy. And he preached me a sermon about the benefits of Copenhagen and how it prevents tooth decay and pyorrhea. And then he preached me another sermon about Scotch whiskey and how it relaxed him and how good it was and how he was on top of his cancer and he had the Indian black salve. And from his point of view, when it comes up, I'll burn it off. But boys and girls, the cancer in your lungs, you don't burn off with black salve. The cancer in your colon and liver, the black salve doesn't touch. And I don't know if he knew that or not. Ultimately, the cancer killed him. And there's another case of a fellow who clinically could have cured himself, but psychologically he couldn't, because he couldn't give up the Scotch and he couldn't give up the Copenhagen. And that's my observation as an observer and as a journalist. I've been watching people for many years. I've seen many people cured of cancer and many people die from cancer. And I notice here that this Renee Cassie said to the commission in Canada, she said, "Well, some of these people were hopeless cases." And I just described two hopeless cases. They could have saved themselves, but because they wouldn't, then they became hopeless. I'll tell you one more quick case over here. Electrician came in, and he was in good health. I mean, this guy was strong, healthy looking. You'd have never thought he had cancer. He'd been diagnosed with lung cancer. The cancer had moved into his arm, and he was having problems with his arm, but he was, he was off work, but he was in pretty good health. He came here to the school, and my wife laid out a program for him. He went back home. His wife called one day and says, "He can't drink the juice." Well, now, I don't deny, boys, that Jack Daniels tastes a hell of a lot better than wheatgrass. I don't deny that. But Jack Daniels has no life-giving minerals and vitamins in it, to my knowledge. No amino acids. And that's what you've got to have to defeat cancer. You've got to have amino acids and vitamins and minerals. I put a program on here about Joel Wallach and rare earths. Go back to our archives and take a look at those stories on rare earths from Joel Wallach. You got 90 essential elements. You know, when God said, "Dust thou art, and dust shalt thou return," He wasn't whistling Dixie through a straw hat. We're made up of the elements of the earth. And kids, you have to have those elements in the right supply all the time, 24 hours a day. Otherwise, symptoms are going to develop. Cancer is just a symptom that your body over here isn't running very good, and you need to take some corrective action. Kind of like, your car's driving down the road, and you look over and say, "Oh my God, the temperature gauge is up to 200. Well, you know, just because your car is running hot doesn't mean that it's going to blow up, but it means that you've got to take some action. Maybe we got to stop and let it cool off. Maybe we've got to pull into the next service station, put in some more coolant. Maybe the fan belt's broken and we got to get the fan cooking again. You know, there's something wrong. If you just continue on with this hot engine, you know, at some point in time, the engine's going to burn up and cease to function, which is going to leave you stranded alongside the road. So those are decisions that you have to make, and so the reason we have temperature gauges and fuel gauges and oil gauges in our cars is so that it gives us a little warning signal. And when your body starts to malfunction, it gives you a warning signal. You're not going to die from cancer just because the doctor has diagnosed you, oh my God, you've got lung cancer. Okay, so that now you got lung cancer, the engine's running hot, now you got to do something about it. Then we should take action, and it's got to be intelligent. So, here, getting back to our story, rather than to get into another battle, Renee chose to go home. She just said, oh, I'm not going to fight with the American Medical Association. I've been fighting with the Canadians for years. So she felt that she had accomplished what she'd set out to do. She had been given the opportunity to test ESSIAC under the conditions that she had always desired. She had been able to work with one of the most prestigious doctors in the United States. She felt that ESSIAC's effectiveness against cancer and other health problems had been so clearly proven and demonstrated that no one would now doubt its merit. It was wishful thinking. Furthermore, she had formed a deep friendship and a legal partnership as co-owners of the formula with Dr. Bruce, a partnership that guaranteed Renee that Dr. Bruce would continue to research and perfect ESSIAC, and if they eventually thought that it was viable, they would market it to the general public at a reasonable price. She respected and she trusted Dr. Bruce completely and was sure that her formula was safe in his hands. History will prove that she was, in fact, correct. After working with Dr. Bruce, Renee returned to Bracebridge. Dr. Bruce has promised to continue to work with ESSIAC when he could, both on patients and in the laboratory. In 1984, Dr. Bruce was to give ESSIAC his ultimate vote of confidence by treating his own cancer solely with ESSIAC. In his own words, written in 1990, Dr. Bruce said, I endorse this therapy even today, for I have in fact cured my own cancer, the original site of which was the lower bowel through ESSIAC alone. In my last complete examination, where I was examined throughout the intestinal tract while hospitalized in August of 1989 for a hernia problem, no sign of malignancy was found. Medical documents validate this. I have taken ESSIAC every day since my diagnosis in 1984, and my recent examination has given me a clean bill of health. I remained a partner of Renee Cassie until her death in 1978 and was the only person who had her complete trust and to whom she confided her knowledge and know-how of what she named ESSIAC. So Dr. Bruce got the formula. Going back to the beginning of our story, do you remember that the formula came from the Indian medicine man? Was passed on to the English woman who passed it on to Renee Cassie, who used it for many years, treated many patients, passed it on to Dr. Bruce, then she died in 1978. Now that formula is well known. You can rest assured that Hoffman LaRoche and GlaxoSmithKline and Pfizer and Merck all have the formula. Now have you seen a cancer cure? Have you seen ESSIAC on the market? And the answer is no, and you never will. There's no money in it. You can't make $500 billion a year off of people that are cured from cancer, because the minute that you're cured, you don't need it anymore. The thing that makes money for the medical establishment is an invalid who has to keep coming back and keep coming back to buy more and more of the product. You see, when you buy an automobile, you now become a slave to gasoline, because now you got to keep buying gasoline. The car won't run without gasoline. So you keep coming back and coming back and coming back. It doesn't make any difference, kids, whether or not the price of gasoline is $2 a gallon or $20 a gallon, you're still going to come back to the gas station and buy it, even if it's $20 a gallon. You're going to buy gasoline for your car. You might not drive it as much, and you might not drive it as far, and maybe you won't let it idle. You know, you won't just sit there and let it burn up gas while you're talking to Tootsie on the street corner. But you'll buy the gas and you'll pay whatever the market demands. Same thing with drugs. When you're in pain, and or if you've got cancer, or if you've got some medical problem, you will pay whatever the pharmaceutical companies demand. You got no other choice. Now, fortunately, this formula, I gave it to you here the other day. Let me run this by you again. It's made up of burdock root, sheep sorrel, slippery elm, watercress, rhubarb root, kelp, blessed thistle, red clover. Now, those are the detoxifying agents. That's what carries the dead cells out of your body. And the active ingredient is called blood root. And so the way my wife took it was this. She sent to the fluorescence company and she got a formula that's mixed up of burdock root, sheep sorrel, slippery elm, watercress, rhubarb, kelp, blessed thistle, and red clover. That carries it away. You can buy that commercially, and looking at the top, it's $29.95. Then she had to go to the underground bloodroot market, and she did, and she bought bloodroot in pill form, in tablet. And she takes one of those a day, and then she follows it up with the SEACT. Now remember, this SEACT originally had the bloodroot in it, but they had to take the bloodroot out of it now because you can't sell that in the United States, you know, with the bloodroot in it. All right, so now the formula is there. Now, and you can buy it commercially, except for the bloodroot. Now, you got to go out and get the bloodroot. Now, again, if you went to a naturopath, if you're in Oregon, if you're in Massachusetts, and let's say you don't have any naturopaths in Massachusetts, and you got to go clear out to Oregon, find yourself a naturopath in Oregon. Go out there and stay in a motel for 6 weeks and tell him you want the SEACT treatment over there, and any naturopath can give it to you. He'll get the stuff, and he'll give it to you. He won't tell you what he's giving you. That's the way he'll cover himself. He won't tell you. This is illegal bloodroot. Now, he's not going to do that. And then, this is what my wife did. She went out to Boise, and she stayed out there for, I guess it was about 6 weeks or 3 months. I forgot now exactly. And went to Lester's clinic over in Ontario, Oregon. And I'm sure Lester's dead by now, so you're going to have to find another naturopath. But I said it before, and I'll say it again. There isn't a naturopath in America that can't cure cancer. If there is one, the guy's so damn hopelessly incompetent, he ought not to call himself a naturopath. Never met one yet that couldn't. Now, get this. Most of these doctors know this, too. I'm not the only guy in the world that ever heard of this woman, Renee Cassie, now am I? Now, this is pretty well-known stuff, kids. In fact, I got to tell you a little story here. My wife went up to a clinic up in Minnesota back in 78, 79 when she had cancer, first time. And she had been taking Indian black salve, and she had a cancer underneath her eye. Surface cancer came out. And she put the black salve on there, and it ate a piece out. They ate a piece of flesh out the size of the cancer, about the size of a 50-cent piece. And she said it was a god-awful ugly sight under her eye, right on her face, great big hole full of pus, just nasty, you know, just really nasty looking. Well, anyway, she goes up to this clinic, and the guy looks at this hole in her face, and he says, oh, you've been playing Indian medicine. Indian medicine. He knew exactly that she was using bloodroot on that cancer. And then he sat her down. Now, her big problem at that time was she had cancer in her liver. And now that's a big one. Now, you get cancer in your liver, you're going to die. You've only got one liver, you know. And that liver has to be functioning all the time. Now, a woman by the name of Ann Wigmore discovered that wheatgrass has the nutrients in it and has the cancer-killing effectiveness that bloodroot has. And so does bardingry. And so by using this wheatgrass, she ran a clinic up there in Boston for years and years. And I don't know what else she did. I never went to the clinic. But I talked to a young man that had been to her clinic. And it was more than just wheatgrass. There was also a nutritional schedule to get on. And she got people off of meat. Now, most of these people are vegetarians. And that makes a lot of sense. You know, if you stop and think about it. Get off meat and get your protein from nuts until you can kill the cancer. And that's because your body energy, it takes 75% of your body energy to digest your food. That's why when you eat a big meal, you know, at Thanksgiving, or you eat a big steak, you get sleepy. Well, your body goes to work on digesting that and you lose your energy. So, bottom line to that story then is that you get off of meat, concentrate on healing the cancer. You want your body to be nourished and have energy, but you want to give it the essential elements, vitamins and minerals. You don't need very much protein. And what protein you need, you can get from nuts or fish or something else. Well, in the later years, from 1962 to 1978, Renee Cassie remained active in Bracebridge, and she continued to supply Essiac to Dr. Bruch, who in turn continued to experiment and to perfect the original formula. He always kept her updated as to his progress and what additions that he had made to the original formula. He also informed her periodically as to the other conditions that he observed Essiac benefiting, such as diabetes and conditions due to high levels of toxicity. Essiac proved to be a phenomenal detoxifier. Well, listen, kids. Burdock root, sheep sorrel, slippery elm, watercress, rhubarb root, kelp, blessed thistle, and clover are all detoxifiers. All detoxifiers. Not a one of them is a cancer killer. And the formula makes all the sense in the world. You need something to kill the cancer. Bloodroot is the killer. And more importantly, once you've killed the cancer, you've got to eliminate it. And then if it plugs up in your lymph system or in your kidneys, colon, or your liver, you're dead. And that's what happens with chemotherapy. They kill it too fast. Bloodroot, taken a little at a time. It just kills it slowly but surely. My wife had a big lump in her breast this last time, about the size of a hen's egg, developed that big. When she got onto the bloodroot and the Essiac, it just disappeared. A little at a time, just little at a time. And I told you, I said, what does it look like when it comes out in your stool and it looks like cottage cheese? It's white and you can see that it's something different than the feces. Now, you're going to be amazed at this concept. Most of you listening to me right now, when you get cancer, and get this, 50% of you listening to me right now are going to get cancer in your lifetime. So just look around the room. There's three of you in the room, okay? One and a half of you are going to get cancer. Now, when that happens, about 90% of you are going to rush off to the allopathic medical doctor, and you're going to get cut, burned, and poisoned. And then 63% of you, after you get cut, burned, and poisoned, are going to find out that, well, we've done everything we can to you, but now you're just going to have to face up to death. So, that's it. Now, what are you going to do? All right, now don't forget Essiac, because even after, and evidently a number of cases, reading this story here, of people who'd used radiation, like the woman here that had this radiation, burned her arm off, and they got to the point and said, we've got to amputate it. She comes back to Cassie after the cancer is in the arm, the radiation has burned it and all, and they cured it. The Essiac cured it. So either one, the Essiac will work in place of your immune system, or her immune system wasn't burned out to such a degree that the Essiac couldn't save her. So tuck that one away in your heart. It's the only product that I know of or I've even heard of that you can take after chemotherapy or radiation where you've got any hope. Prior to chemotherapy and radiation, any of the rest of these nine natural cures work and work like a shot. Now, let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the law hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the internet. For more information and dope about the Gordon Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law, eight schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. We're not going to force you into Catholicism, no. And we're open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Don't just come knock on the door and say, I'm coming in, because we don't take people in off the street. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives. It can be accessed through our webpage at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct, at least to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are going to endorse and recommend us. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not wholly endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call the law school at 417-273-4967. All right, the story that we are delivering to you this week is called The ESIAC Report, Canada's Remarkable Unknown Cancer Remedy, by Richard Thomas, 8.5 by 11, probably 200 pages in the report. Remember, I'm not reading the whole report, I'm just giving you excerpts that come from it. I'm covering the first part of it and telling you the basic story. If you want the whole report, the whole story, you'll have to get a copy. You can get that from ATIN. It's called the Alternative Treatment Information Network. Alternative Treatment Information Network. 1244 Ozita Terrace, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Again, that's 1244 Ozita, and that's spelled O-Z-E-T-A. Five letters, O-Z-E-T-A Terrace. Los Angeles, California, 90069. The phone number out there is 310-278-6611. Again, that's 310-278-6611. It's called the ESIAC Report, spelled E-S-S-I-A-C, ESIAC Report. It's Renee Cassie spelled backwards. Her name was spelled C-A-I-S-S-E. She named her product E-S-S-I-A-C, just spelled her name backwards. And let me give you one more little reminder here, and that is that we've had a number of inquiries about conducting one of our tax and status schools in Austin, Texas. It's a five-day school. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We work about, I'd say 7 hours a day, 9 to 5, an hour off for lunch. 46 lessons, 46 things that you ought to know about the income tax and Social Security. And Austin, Texas is the spot where we've received a number of requests. So if you're one of those persons that has called us about a school, why don't you call us and get a date and time? And if you haven't called us and you're interested or might be interested, why don't you call, get a date and time on the Tax and Status School in Austin, Texas. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Well, in Canada, SEAC remained alive by word of mouth, and people from all over the country somehow found their way to Renee. But she was getting old and she was tired. Still fearing the ever-watchful eyes of the Cancer Commission, she tried to secretly help as many people as she could, but inevitably she would have to turn some away, and it broke her heart. From 62 to 78, Renee remained active in Bracebridge. She continued to supply SEAC to Dr. Bruch, who in turn continued to experiment and to perfect that original formula. He always kept her updated as to his progress and what he was doing. Now, no one has ever fully understood why it was in 1973, when you take into consideration Renee's past experiences with the medical establishment, that she decided to give them one more try. She was 85 years old in 1973. But evidently, she had not given up all hope that her old nemesis, the commission in Canada, might be ready to reconsider. So she wrote to the Sloan Kettering Institute, Sloan Kettering Cancer Institute, and she asked them if they would like to continue the encouraging tests that they had done back in 1959. Well, Dr. Chester Stock, who was the vice president and associate director of administrative and academic affairs, said that they would definitely begin running tests on mice if Renee would send some SEAC. Well, Renee did, in fact, over the next 3 years, send material to be injected into mice. But the mice, it seems, were implanted with animal carcinoma, not human cancer. Renee believed the mice would be implanted with human carcinoma. So when she found out, she suspected Sloan Kettering's test methods and the lab reports. When she received more disappointing lab results, she was further convinced that the serum was being prepared improperly or not in accordance with her directions. She even felt that some of the lab reports that she received were actually not from the Sloan Kettering labs. In 1976, she stopped sending them material and terminated her agreement with Dr. Stock. According to Dr. Stock, for mice to be implanted with human cancer, they must be so thoroughly irradiated that tests are sometimes inconclusive. But even though the new tests with SEAC proved inconclusive, he believed that there was always species differences and didn't rule out the possibility that SEAC might be effective against human cancer. But here's where it gets confusing. The material Renee sent to Dr. Stock was 25 years old, and she only sent one herb, the injectable one. She never mentioned the fact that SEAC had been further perfected at the Bruch Clinic, nor did she ever send him the complete formula or the other herbs so vital to SEAC's effectiveness. In an interview with Homemakers magazine in 1977, Dr. Stock said that he would be willing to do further testing if Renee would send the complete formula with its ingredients so he could follow the injection with the oral brew. Her own words at that time leave no doubt as to how she felt about the tests at Sloan Kettering. Last time they froze it, they might as well have injected distilled water. But why didn't Renee at least send the complete herbs necessary to get accurate results? She would not have had to reveal the exact formula, and after all, it was Renee who initiated the new relationship with Sloan Kettering. Are we forced to conclude that Renee subconsciously had no real intention of cooperating with the medical establishment, given her past experiences, or did she feel possibly on a conscious level the need to make a final perfunctory effort with the powers that be? Well, in any event, we'll never know. But her final act, in the summer of 1977, Renee Cassie was back in the limelight. She was 89 years old, and after much initial skepticism and careful investigation, Homemakers Magazine in Canada released an extensive story on the entire history of Renee Cassie and Essiac. They opened their story with the following statement. It said, essentially, Renee's story was true. She had been getting remarkable results against many kinds of cancer with Essiac. And she had been prevented from carrying on treatment unless she revealed the formula. Whether it would have been swept under the rug by a jealous medical hierarchy, as she feared, or hailed by a grateful profession that heaped honors at her door, is a question that no one can answer, since Essiac never stood the test of controlled clinical studies. The management of Homemakers were so impressed with what they discovered during the course of their very thorough investigation that they made an official proposal to Renee, which they wrote about. In the hope that we might speed Essiac on its way through the bureaucratic maze with no more loss of time, we offered to set up a trust to represent her in any dealings that she might have with the government, the Cancer Institute, or any interested pharmaceutical companies. Renee, never telling Homemakers about her existing partnership with Dr. Bruch, flatly turned them down. A disappointed Homemakers concluded, there's a tragic and shameful irony in the Essiac story. In the beginning, a simple herbal recipe was freely shared by an Indian who understood that the blessings of the Creator belonged to everyone. In the hands of more sophisticated and allegedly more civilized healers, it was made the focus of an ugly struggle for ownership and power. Perhaps our cure for cancer lies back in the past with our discarded humility and innocence. Perhaps the Indians will someday revive an old man's wisdom and share it once again. Perhaps this story will be the catalyst. If so, our efforts will not have been in vain. Homemakers Magazine is a widely read national publication, and the story on Essiac in the summer of 1977 hit Canada like a nuclear bomb. It wasn't the first time, of course, that Canadians had heard about Renee and about Essiac. But this story was different. It chronicled virtually every aspect of Essiac's tumultuous history. It was replete with the testimonials and the facts to back up every assertion about Essiac's incredible effectiveness. It gave the most clear picture to date of Renee and her lifelong struggle to have Essiac recognized as a legitimate cancer treatment. Renee was swamped with requests for her treatment. Her phone rang nonstop. Later, a television crew came to Bracebridge and produced an hour-long documentary on Renee Cassie. Newspapers across Canada picked up the story. Letters poured in. So intense was the attention that she was forced to accept police protection against the crowds of people swarming her house, demanding that she treat them with Essiac. Among the people influenced by Homemaker's story was David Feingard. He was a distinguished-looking 70-year-old gentleman, vice president of Respirion, a Canadian corporation said to have pharmaceutical interests. Feingard couldn't believe that in over 50 years no one had been able to capitalize on Essiac. No one had been able to wrestle the formula away from Renee. No one had been able to convince her that they could really do something big with this obvious medical breakthrough. He would be the one. He set out single-handedly to obtain the formula. Let me pause right here, boys and girls. This treatment, this formula was presented in 1936, 37, 38, and went to the Royal Commission in Canada. It went to the Parliament. It went to their national legislature. If the Canadian government had wanted a cure to cancer, it was right there in front of them. And they voted it down. You got that? They voted it down. No, we don't want it. In the United States, when she brought it to the Bruch Clinic, the AMA voted it down. They said, we don't want it. Now, let me repeat that. The powers that be, the Food and Drug Administration, GlaxoSmithKline, the American Medical Association, the medical associations of every country on planet Earth, do not want any cancer cure. Period. That's the end of the report. Now, cancer treatments, we want those. Cancer medications, cancer vaccines, we want those. Those are patentable. Those are money makers. Cancer is a $500 billion a year business. We want that. We don't want a cure. We do want research. We want billions of dollars of taxpayers' money. A WPA for PhDs to keep those PhDs off the streets and out of the pool halls. We want them employed and looking for a cure to cancer. The fact that we already have 10 doesn't mean that we don't want 11, 12, 13, or 14, especially if we can patent it. Now, you just saw this the other day. And they're talking about this bird flu. Do you remember that story, the bird flu story? Now, there's a company over in Switzerland named Hoffmann La Roche, and they have a I don't know if it's a vaccine or a treatment or a pill or something for this bird flu. And so they have licensed that, and the governments around the world are now paying billions of dollars to stockpile this bird flu antidote, whatever they call it. Boys and girls, as long as there's money in it, we want it. Rene Cassie said, I'm going to give it to the world, but I'm not going to give my formula to the pharmaceutical industry. And remember, under the Kirby bill, you have to give us the formula. And she said, no. Come over here and watch these patients be cured. Watch them be healed from their diseases. And they said, okay, well, we saw that, but where's the formula? Now, a clinic, a bona fide, licensed, bonded, everyday garden variety clinic, the Bruch Clinic in Boston, tested it for years. Proved it. And the head of the clinic, Dr. Bruch, used it on himself and cured his cancer. But you can't get it patented, and you can't get it licensed, and you can't get it used because the AMA and the pharmaceutical companies and the FDA don't want it, aren't going to license it, and anybody that they catch using it, they're going to jail. They'll prosecute you. And any doctor that would be so foolish as to use it, they'll take his license away from him and then throw his sorry ass in jail. And that's the end of that report. It ain't going to happen here in the United States. So let's make up our minds to that. So here's Renee, old lady that she is, swamped with requests for her treatment, her phone's ringing off the wall. And now this guy wants the formula. So when Feingard first approached Renee, she, as usual, turned him down, but he was incredibly persistent, and nearly every day he arrived at her house with a new proposal. He told her Risperidone, he, if granted the formula, would only test SEAC on humans. Another day he told her Risperidone was backed by Denison Mines, a large Canadian mining company, and therefore would have the capital to do anything necessary to bring SEAC to suffering humanity. And yet another day he told her she could be directly involved in the future development of SEAC. Renee refused every offer, and Feingard didn't give up. As a businessman, he knew SEAC's potential. Finally, Feingard proposed something even Renee couldn't turn down. So he told Renee if she granted Risperidone the exclusive right to the formula, Risperidone would open 5 fully staffed clinics across Canada and give SEAC free to terminally ill cancer patients who couldn't afford its modest proposed price. Now that she was interested in. So Renee discussed the offer with her partner, Dr. Bruch. He agreed with her that Respirion's offer went beyond what any other person or company had proposed to date. There had been many offers in the past, but she felt virtually all of them simply wanted to exploit ESIAC, something that neither Renee nor Dr. Bruch would ever allow. Feingard's offer sounded different. So Bruch went to meet Renee to formally co-sign the contract as partners and co-owners. So on the morning of October 26, 1977, David Feingard, Dr. Bruch, and Renee met. Everybody was in a positive mood. It was a lovely autumn day, cool and crisp. The dappled orange and red trees that lined the quiet Bracebridge streets announced the coming of a new season. Feingard handed Renee and Dr. Bruch the contract. It stated that Renee and her partner, Dr. Bruch, would receive $1 for signing, $2.50 a week for 6 months while ESIAC was being tested. Out of the $250, Renee was to buy the herbs and prepare the formula for Respirin, who would then test it in a scientifically controlled study on humans. If the test proved positive, ESIAC would subsequently be marketed to the general public. Renee and Dr. Bruch would receive a 2% royalty. Dr. Bruch was shocked. There was so little money for Renee, who lived so modestly. He told Renee that she should take the entire amount, and if something came of Respirin's test, they would then split the royalty. Renee, not at all concerned about the paltry sum offered by Feingard or the fact that she would have to buy the herbs out of her tiny payments and prepare the herbs for Respirin, left to get the formula. Her purpose, as it had always been, was to get ESIAC into the hands of people suffering humanity. Feingard had convinced her that Respirin could make it happen. She wasn't going to let the question of her compensation spoil what was surely her last opportunity to save millions of lives. So Renee returned. She signed the contract. Dr. Bruch signed it only as a witness that day and then handed Feingard, who was waiting patiently, a sealed envelope which she said contained the formula. Everyone shook hands. Feingard left thoroughly pleased with his accomplishment. He had done the impossible. He had done what no one had been able to do before him. He had the exclusive rights to ESIAC, a product that would certainly make him and his company rich beyond his wildest dreams. Shortly after, Respirin applied to the Department of Health and Welfare asking permission for ESIAC to be tested in a pilot program on terminal cancer patients. Officially, the program was classified as a preclinical new drug submission regulated by the Health Protection Branch of the Department of Health and Welfare. Hundreds of doctors across Canada, plus two hospitals, were to administer ESIAC to their patients and monitor the results, which would then be compiled by Respirin, and the intention of getting ESIAC eventually approved for widespread use as a legitimate cancer treatment. What do you think the results of that's going to be? Well, we're out of time, so we'll have to take it up right there next time. Let me put an arrow here in the margin, and we'll take a look at the sordid story of ESIAC in Canada next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Remember, this is a book that we're reviewing called The ESIAC Report. You can call them at 310-278-6611. Again, that's area code 310-278-6611. The address is 1244 Ozita Terrace, Los Angeles, California, 90069. All right, I'm out of time. I got to leave it right there. We'll have to remind you that the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our webpage. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, we're out of time. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, to take up the saga of ESIAC. So until then, God willing, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.